shall now turn to consider as the Lord may enable us what you will find in the chapter of God's Word read. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8. And we shall read again at verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And these words were spoken in the temple. And at this particular time, there was a feast in the temple called the Feast of Tabernacles. And at that particular feast, the golden candlestick of the seven lights was lit, and the whole of Jerusalem was floodlit by the light from the temple. But that was natural light. Or I should say it was light it was a symbolic light. It was not the light of life. But here was one now who himself is the temple. The true temple. The one who said with regard to his body, that if they would destroy it in 3 days, he would rise again. But he spake of the temple of his body. So the one who says, I am the light of the world, is the one who is the temple, the one in whom God is. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And the temple that he occupied was a holy humanity, a pure, sinless humanity. And now he says with regard to himself, I am. In other words, he is saying, using another phrase, prominent in the Old Testament, I am that I am, the self-existent God, the self-existent Jehovah, the God of transcendent glory and power. The Savior is saying here, I am that God in the person of the Son, equal in power and in glory, the one who is the express image of the Father's person, and the outshining of the glory of God. So that the light that comes from him is not natural light, not light lit from natural, by natural methods, but it is, as he himself says here, the light of life. The light of life. The light that shone on the temple as he spake. The seven golden candlesticks shining wondrously and lighting up the whole of Jerusalem were merely symbolic of what he said here. That light lit up Jerusalem. But here he says, here is light, and it's to extend beyond Jerusalem. I am, he says, the light of the world. The light of the world. Shining out of this temple. The temple of the Son of God in your nature and mine. I am, he says, the light of the world. Now this light is opposed to the darkness that is in the world. The testimony of the Word of God is that darkness covers the face of the earth and gross darkness the people. Gross darkness the people. The whole race of mankind, as they are by nature, are, each individual of them, yourself and myself included, we are in the kingdom of darkness. As we are born into the world, born in sin, and shapen in iniquity, we are in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of the prince of darkness, in the kingdom of Satan. Great darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now here we have this wonderful revelation of light. Of light. That is to dispel the darkness. That is to dispel the darkness. That can cause the darkness to pass away. And therefore we conclude when we come to examine this part of the Word of God and begin with having with considering the darkness. You and I will never desire the light until we realize that we are in darkness. But no question of desiring the light as long as we are in darkness, and especially one form of the darkness that I shall mention. Now, when we view this darkness in the light of the Word of God, we see that there are what we might call two elements in the darkness. That is to say, there are two forms of darkness making up the one state of darkness. Now, you were singing that in Psalm 107. And speaking of those who are brought out of that darkness, that they are brought out of the darkness of death's shade. The darkness, the out of darkness did them bring, and from death's shade. That is to say, now that is the first element that we have in this darkness. That we are by nature under the shadow of death. And that on account of our sins against God. Now the second element of this darkness of which you and I are in is the darkness of ignorance of God. The darkness of ignorance of God is the second element in this darkness. And it is a darkness of such a nature that it cannot be cured by the light of human wisdom. That is true of both forms of darkness. They being delivered from the darkness of the shadow of death, it cannot be wrought out by any human ingenuity, by any human wisdom, because it has to do with the sentence of death passed by God against sin. The wages of sin is death. And then the form of darkness which I've described as ignorance of God is, can it be cured by natural light also? Can it be done? Natural light, natural wisdom, the wisdom of science, the wisdom of philosophy, the wisdom of sociology, and all the other ologies, the whole realm of human wisdom, and the light that is there, it cannot deliver the soul from the darkness of the ignorance of God that is in the human heart as we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But here we come face to face with one who is saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If you are seeking light, this is the one to look to. They look to him, and what? And lightened well. Not shame at one of their faces. This poor man cried, God help, and saved him from all his distresses. I am, he says, the light of the world. Turn away from the light shining in the golden candlestick, the golden oil. That is all merely symbolical. It cannot take away the darkness of the shadow of death, and neither can it remove in the darkness of the ignorance of God. But now look to this temple. I am, he says, the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he says, with regard to that light, that it is the light of life. It is the light of life. And therefore, in that light, we shall see how the soul that is worthy of death obtains life, obtains deliverance from the shadow of death. The shadow of death removed, and removed forever and ever through the light that shines from this glorious one. It is the light of life, of the life that shall never end. And the soul that is delivered from the sentence of death through the light that shines from this glorious one, and in that light, that soul united to that glorious one, this is what the Word of God says. Therefore, now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The shadow of death is gone, and the light of life is shining. Is he not worthy then that you and I should look to him? I am to pray to him, enlighten me, lest the sleep of death any of me overtake. And the light of life, with regard to the knowledge of God. This is what this is the light that shines from this temple. This is eternal life. They may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now by nature, we are walking in darkness. Walking, journeying on to the blackness of darkness forever. But here this person says here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So that's the third thing. Those who are to enjoy this light, who are to be refreshed by this light, who can say with the psalmist, thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens, thy truth intersweeps the clouds, and then he goes on to say, and in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see, we clearly light shall see. Oh, these are the ones who are following Christ. They will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. They're brought out of walking in darkness. And they now begin, as you remember, the psalmist says, wilt thou not, now listen to this, wilt thou not, who from death me saved, from death me saved, the shadow of death, my feet from falls keep free, to walk before God in the light of those, that living being, the light of life. So we are told with regard to the people of God, they are those who walk in the light, as God is in the light, and who have fellowship with him, and with his people, and the blood of Jesus Christ going on cleansing him from all sin. Let us begin then by considering the first element in the darkness that envelops every one of us when we are born into this world. When we open our eyes in this world, perhaps it was a day when the sun was shining. It certainly was a day when we were surrounded by our parents, our friends. They all rejoiced that a child had been born into the world. It was a great day in the experience of the family, in the experience of the friend, and the child born into the light and warmth of this family connection and friendship in the world. That is true in the natural sense. But the Word of God has something to say with regard to that child. And that is that it was born in sin, that it was shapen in iniquity, and that it is a child born in the darkness of the shadow of death. The darkness of the shadow of death. How very solemn to think of that. The child getting such a welcome into the world. And yet, in the eyes of the Creator of that child is being born in sin, being born in iniquity, and born under the shadow of the death that came upon the human race when sin entered the world by one man, and death passed upon all men, for in it all of sin. And now that child began to walk. Another occasion, I no doubt, in any reasonable family, of which there are only too few nowadays. But there was some rejoicing in the parents when the child began to walk. I was encouraged to walk. But now, what kind of walking is this? It is walking in darkness. Walking in darkness, walking under the sentence of death, walking in the shadow of death, resting over that child. And as the child grows up to youth, to maidenhood, to manhood, and that child is walking, step by step, day after day, but they are walking under the sentence of death, lying upon that soul. Now, what about yourself? Do you believe that with regard to yourself? You look back upon the years that have passed through your life, the years when you've been walking, here and there and every place that you went to. Did you realize, and do you realize now, that all the time, at every step you took, from the womb of your mother, you were under the shadow of death. You were under the shadow of death. And not only so, but with every step you took, you were adding sin to sin, and treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. How few there are in our day and generation that even faintly understand the solemnity of being under the shadow of eternal death, under the shadow of eternal death, that God is angry with the wicked every day, angry with the wicked every step that he or she takes in this world. They are under the shadow of death. Have you realized that? Did you ever come to realize Could you tell me how you came to realize? If I came and sat beside you in the pew and said to you, now, do you realize, or have you realized, that all your life you have been under the shadow of death? And every step you took, however important to you, however anticipated with pleasure by you, it was under the shadow of death, under the sentence of God against your sins. And if you came to realize that, how did that happen? And have you come now to look to the one who says here, I am the light of the world. Now, what light does Christ give? What light does Christ give? With regard to being delivered from this form of darkness. What light shines from this temple? The temple that was brought to the dust of death. Yes, he died in the room and place of the ungodly. Now let me go back to that verse that I mentioned to you already. There are those who walk in the light, as God is in the light. They have fellowship with God. They have fellowship with one another. And what else? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now, that is the light. The light of life that shines from this temple. I am the light of the world. I am the light of life because in and through me and by reason of the shedding of my blood, there is deliverance for the guilty. There is deliverance from the shadow of death. Lying upon the soul, that deliverance pointed to by the Savior when he said to the Jews that if they would bring down the temple of his body, he would raise it in 3 days, so that this temple was a temple that was to be brought down. It was a tabernacle not made by man, but it was a tabernacle in which not symbolic blood was to be shed, but the true blood, the true blood of the sacrifice of the Son of God in your nature and mine. So that we get light from the Word of God, of the Savior, it is from him that this light proceeds. There is no light apart from him. Now we come to the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now we read there, light shining from Christ, and beginning here. Beginning with one, and two, and three, and many, who say, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We are all guilty. We all deserve eternal death. But here, we have light now upon a transaction involving this person here, and involving the everlasting Father. And we read with regard to that, and light given to us, with regard to that, that the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. And that is to say, as you remember, the words mean that the Lord caused to meet upon him, upon this person, upon the divine Savior, in your nature and mine, the Lord caused to meet upon him the guilt of the sins of all those who are loved with an everlasting love. These sins were laid upon him. The shadow of death fell upon him. And not only the shadow of death, but death itself was his portion in the shedding of his blood. And therefore his blood now has the efficacy to cleanse from the guilt of sin. To cleanse the conscience from the guilt of sin. That's what Paul says. The blood of bulls and of goats could not cleanse the conscience. It only cleansed according to the symbol. But it could not cleanse the conscience. But he goes on to say this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a the living God. So here is the light shining from this temple. Christ and him crucified. Salvation for the guilty. Deliverance from guilt in accordance with the justice of God. Deliverance through the blood of the sacrifice. Ye were sometimes afar off, with the guilt of your sins, separating you from God, are now brought nigh through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ, it has this efficacy to cleanse from all sin. I am the light of the world. This is the way the Savior says. Here is light for your soul. If you're here this Sabbath evening, and you're concerned about your sins, concerned about the sentence of death lying upon your soul, here is light from this temple. Marvelous light, pure light, clear light, that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse away all your sins and make you whiter than the snow. Make you whiter than the snow, so that the God of eternity says with regard to you, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. Will I remember no more forever. It is the light of life. The light of life. The light of life. The soul under the sentence of death. Delivered from the sentence of death and put in possession life that shall never end. Now that brings us to the second form of this darkness. And it is the darkness of the ignorance of God. Now you remember when man was created. And when the Spirit breathed into the nostrils of man, he became a living soul. There was stamped upon that soul the divine image in knowledge and righteousness and holiness with dominion over the creatures. So that Adam, in his state of innocency, had a knowledge of God. It's what we call a natural knowledge of God. Because it was there in the image of God impressed upon his soul. Knowledge. In other words, as he was planted in the Garden of Eden, surrounded by the goodness of God in that garden, and when he looked up to the heavens, which the fingers of God framed, he saw there the glory of God. The heavens, God's glory, to declare. Skies, his handbooks preached. And he knew that God was his creator because he had light. He had the knowledge, light of knowledge in his understanding. You see, these people, they make a great deal of fuss about the knowledge who believe in the hypothesis of evolution. You see, they don't believe that God is a creator, and they think that the reason for that is they are scientists, and their knowledge about the world, knowledge about creation, and that God is not the creator, that mysterious way, by chance, the creation came into being. Now God says with regard to that man that he's a fool, but that's not what he thinks. He thinks he's very wise by the reason for his not believing in the creatorship of God is not because of all his learning and scientific methods and methodology and so on, but because He's in darkness. He's ignorant of God. Now, Adam had that knowledge in a state of innocency. And also his conscience told him that his creator was his lawgiver. Now, he had that knowledge. But when sin entered into his heart, then his foolish heart became darkened. He lost in the knowledge of God. Now, we can see that, as we have often mentioned, how he lost the knowledge of the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of God. And by the omnipresence of God, we mean that the fullness of the divine being is at every point of space, in every moment of time. Now, you see, Adam understood that in the state of innocence. He knew that that was true. He knew that he could go nowhere, that God would know. And yet, when he sinned against God, when the knowledge of God departed from his soul, he wanted to hide in the trees of the garden. What ignorance of God and the omnipresence of God. And how you can see that in our day and generation. How men have no idea about the omnipresence of God. They know nothing about what the psalmist knew. At end, I heaven, lo, thou art there. There, if in hell I lie. But nevertheless, now you and I are born into this world. We are born without the knowledge of God, without the true knowledge of God. We may have in our consciences an idea that God, that there is a God. And some of you are here tonight, and that's what brought you here, that because you've got this idea. But, and the question arises, and I must bring this before you, and that is the true knowledge of God, or the knowledge of the true God. Now, that darkness reigns in the soul of man when he's born into this world. And it reigns in his soul because when his foolish heart became darkened, and when Adam sinned against God, his understanding lost, his spiritual eyesight. Now, when he was in a state of innocency, his understanding, as he viewed the heavens, he saw there the glory of God. Now, when he became a sinner and lost in the knowledge of God, he now is blind in his understanding. He is blind, and this is part of the darkness, that he is blind to the glory of God. Spiritual blindness. And that's what Paul says, and you know the words as well as I do, that the natural man, the unconverted man, the graceless man, the graceless woman, understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, by spiritual discernment, we mean spiritual sight, the capacity to understand and to see spiritual things. It has been lost. It has been lost. So that man is in that state of darkness. And you can see how solemn that is. Because that very darkness, that very blindness, makes him blind to the fact that he is under the sentence of eternal death. That's why sinners go on adding sin to sin. Why they are careless. Why they have no thought about. But now, I am the light of the world. Here is the Savior. You remember when he stood at the door of the church of Laodicea with all the blessings that he had there. Among these blessings was this, that he had ointment to anoint their eyes that they might see. You see, they were blind. They thought they were rich and increased with goods and it needed nothing, and they were miserable and poor and blind and naked because they were spiritually blind. And now the Savior has the eyes salved. to apply to the soul, that the sinner may see things spiritually and be delivered from spiritual darkness. Now it is very necessary, especially nowadays, for us to understand that nothing will deliver us from spiritual darkness but spiritual light. See, natural light, the light of natural religion. We may have a great deal of light on the Bible and upon the doctrines of the Bible and so on, but that will not in itself dispel the spiritual darkness. There must be spiritual light. Now, what do we mean by spiritual light? We mean by spiritual light the light of which the Holy Ghost is the author. Now you ask Paul about it. Ask the Apostle Paul. You explain to us, Paul, what spiritual light is. Well, the first thing he'll say to you is, whatsoever maketh manifest is light. Whatsoever maketh manifest is light. And therefore, when the Savior applies the eye salve to bring spiritual life into the soul, it makes manifest certain things. It makes manifest, to begin with, the sins of the sinner. When he, the Spirit of God, will come, he will convince the world of sin. He makes manifest, by the light of God's word, he makes manifest sin and the sins of the sinner. And he comes to see now that these sins are breaches of the law of God, that these sins are worthy of eternal death, and he begins to feel the weight and the burden of his sin. It is made manifest to him. It is made manifest to him by this: I am the light of the world. And the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, shines light into the soul so that the sinner is convinced now of his darkness. Now you ask any of the lost people here, when the Holy Spirit began to deal with you, can you tell me what you felt? And I'll tell you what they'll say I felt. I felt I was so ignorant. I felt in darkness, not only on account of the separation made between God and me on account of my sins, but I felt so ignorant. And it's a very remarkable thing. But here is now let us think of a young man brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church. And he learned the Shorter Catechism at home. He knows that there are three persons in the Godhead. He knows about justification. He knows about effectual calling. He can repeat all these things. And he knows them all. And yet, that same young man, when the Holy Spirit begins to make manifest his sins, he feels his complete ignorance of the things of God. The darkness of the ignorance of God. And the things of God are very painful to that soul. He feels so dark. Yes, he hears sermons. And he hears sermons that give him a measure of light here and a measure of light there. But they are not setting him free. He's not coming into what Christ said. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Well, let's go back to Paul again. See, Paul knew a lot of things. Some of the things he could not tell because he had been exalted to the third heavens. But I'm not talking about these things. I am about the things he knew in his own soul and that you know in your own soul if you belong to those who are following Christ. And that is this: that the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in their hearts. The God who commanded. Ay, the light to shine out of darkness. A shine in our hearts. Here is light beginning to rise in the midst of the darkness of ignorance of that heart. Light beginning to shine. And it is light from the special. It is light from Him who is the light of the world. And what light is it? Well, here it is. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, before I go any further, let me pause on this very important point. This light comes into the soul at God's command. It doesn't come into the soul because of any endeavors, any on the part of the soul, although the soul that is under concern is a praying soul, a soul that's trying to flee from sin, and a soul far too much taken up with his own righteousness. But this is the command of God. Just like what we read of in Psalm 130, where we read, "More than they for morning watch, my soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord." Now, I just might refer to a matter I referred to before. During my days in the Navy and conveying convoys from Freetown down to Lagos in the South Atlantic, one night, there was a tremendous storm, and I happened to be on the bridge at the night. And it was difficult even to see the ships in the convoy. Heavy rain, howling wind. And as I was standing in the bridge there, a great longing took possession of me that the sun would rise. That the sun would rise, but it was impossible for me to cause that to happen. And I was just thinking at that very time, it was like the soul that is in the darkness of conviction of sin, and the desire that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing under his wings upon that soul. And yet, it could not be. And neither could it be on that day in the South, and that night in the South Atlantic, till the sun itself began to rise by divine power on the horizon and began to shine, and the storm passed away. When the relieving officer came up on the bridge, the first thing he said to me was a beautiful morning. But he had passed through the darkness of the night to appreciate the beauty of that morning. And so it is that the soul in the darkness of conviction of sin, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts. The light of God's word to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the temple. And in the temple slain in the face of Jesus Christ. And by the face of Jesus Christ, we are to think of, again, the book of the prophet Isaiah. What do we read there about the face of the Savior in chapter 52? His visage was more marked than that of any man. And here's where the soul sees the glory of God in the sufferings of Christ. And the glory of God in the sufferings of Christ. The glory of God. He has a just God and a Savior. And that soul now sees that God is glorified in saving the sinner from going down to the pit. I deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? I found a ransom on Mount Calvary in the blood of my beloved Son, in the nature of man. And so the spiritual darkness is removed. The spiritual darkness is removed. And in the light of God's word, the Holy Spirit now gives to that soul, spiritual sight. And by spiritual sight, we may say, the grace of faith. For that is the eye that sees the beauty of Christ, the salvation that is in Christ, that sees the glory of Christ in Christ and Him crucified. It was because Paul saw that glory that he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now in the third place, the light of life. See, it is the light of life. The light that comes from Christ delivers from the sentence of death. It delivers from the spiritual ignorance. It brings the soul to be a living soul. Living soul. A soul now that sees the glory of God in the person and work of Christ. That can say, one thing I of the Lord desire, and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain, that I the beauty of the Lord may behold, that I may behold the beauty of Him who is fairer than the sons of men, that my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely, and this is my friend, and this is my beloved, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Now those who have this blessing, the Savior says here, he that followeth me shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. They shall have the light of life. Now they are the light of life, first of all, and be delivered from the sentence of death. To them there is no condemnation. They are the light of life, and be delivered from the darkness of the ignorance of God. They now know it. They that know thy name, in thee their confidence will place, for thou hast not forsaken them, and that truly seek thy face. They will not abide in darkness. They come out of the darkness, the out of darkness. Did them bring? Yes. And from death shame them take. These bands wherewith they had been bound, asunder quite he break. So they come to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is the evidence that it is so, that they follow Christ. They follow Christ. Now, many people profess to be following Christ. We have a question to ask. Does that mean that you were brought out of darkness? Does that mean that although you were walking in darkness, you came to walk in the light of life? Are you following Christ in the light of life? We read with regard to His people that they are those who walk in the light. As God is in the light, they walk in the light. In the light of those either living being, and they are following Christ because they're walking in the light. Now that brings in, first of all, this, that they are following Christ and the light that is in Christ to guide them. To guide them. Now here is an example of that. Go and ask Asaph. Now, Asaph, you tell us what it means to be following Christ in the light of life. And what will he say? Well, this is what he'll say. He'll say, with regard to the special, thou with thy counsel, while I live, with me conduct and guide, and to thy glory afterward, receive me to abide. In the light of His Word, whom have I in the heavens high, but Thee, O Lord, alone, and on the earth whom I desire, Besides thee, there is none. So as they follow Christ, they follow him in the light of the Word of God. You see, and because of their experience of the Word of God and the light that is in the Word of God, they follow Christ as those who have a thirst for light. You find that in the case of the Psalms. What does he pray? O send thy light forth and thy truth. Let them be guides to me, and what will happen? This is what will happen. Send forth thy light with thy truth. Let them be guides to me, to bring me to thine holy hill, even where thy dwellings be, to have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ in the light of God's word, is what these people enjoy, and what these people follow Christ to enjoy, and to follow not only through good report, but through evil report. We're saying today already, where I am, there will my servant be also. Where I am, therefore, will my servant be also. So they are those, as they follow Christ, they do not walk in darkness. They walk in the light. The light of the favor of God. The light of communion and fellowship with God in his word. And as they go, follow him in that way, he is conducting them. As Asaph was saying, they are coming up through the wilderness, leaning upon their beloved, coming up through the wilderness of time, turning their back upon the world. They did that when they began to follow Christ. When they began to profess his name in the world, they turned their back upon the world. And the time will come when they leave the world altogether. They'll leave the world altogether. The cross, the Jordan of death, and to go into that place where the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. They do not need a temple in heaven because the Lamb is present here. He is the temple, and out of that temple, and through the holy, glorified humanity of the Son of God, the glory of God is shining into the spirits of just men made perfect, into angels who are elect, who were saved, falling away with the other angels. And that glory is shining there. The light of that glory still shines from the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And therefore, my dear fellow sinner, for you and me, as long as we are in this world, it is to get light upon Christ and from Christ. Light that will draw us to be united to him. A light in which we will rejoice in that salvation wrought by him, in which his glory is made great. And so we can have the hope that we will enjoy not only the light of grace in time, but the light of glory in eternity. May he bless his word, let us call upon his name. Eternal and ever blessed one, make this glorious one precious to us. I am, he said, the light of the world, of Jew and Gentile, to the end of the earth. Every soul shall come into this light and be delivered from darkness and come to this wonderful light of the great I am that I am who in our nature died to deliver his people from darkness, to bring them to the light of those in that living be. Bless our meeting and pardon our sins, and give us grace to sing to thy praise in conclusion. For Christ's sake, amen. We shall conclude now singing in Psalm 56 from verse 8. Psalm 56 from verse 8, my wanderings, the steps you have been taking, My wanderings, all what they have been, thou knowest. Their number took. Into thy bottle put my tears. Are they not in thy book? My foe shall, when I cry, turn back. I know what God is for me. In God his word I'll praise. His word and God shall praise it be. In God I trust. I will not fear what man can do to me. Thy vows upon me are, O God, I'll render praise to thee. Wilt thou not who from death me saved, my feet from falls keep free, to walk before God in the light of those that living be. Psalm 57, verse 8, to the end, to God's praise, my wanderings all where they have been.
My word.